The word Paul used, there's metamorphos, where we get our word metamorphosis. And so, some of y'all worms might wake up a butterfly. I'm more like a frog. I grew up in church. And so I still had to come to a point where I was transformed by the grace of God. And guys, I am so glad that he found me and I found him, and that I did have the privilege to grow up in a Christian home and nurtured in the ways of God. But I wasn't always perfect. Pretty close, but not always. Every story's got to have a beginning, right? One of my metamorphosis moments happened when I was 18 in Texas. We had gone to visit my aunt and uncle, my parents and me and my brother and my aunt and uncle, my cousins, and we were all there. And I had ridden a motorcycle a time or two. My uncle came back from Germany with a BMW when he was stationed over there. And I rode with him a time or two, and it scared me to death. But then I went down to Texas to visit my cousin when I was 18 years old. And he had one of those little first generation Honda 125 electric start ming bikes. He was 16 and had just got it. And even though it was an electric start, I don't know if the battery was bad or the starter was bad. And it was first generation and it didn't have the kickstart option. Some of y'all are ahead of me. Put it in second gear, pull in the clutch, run down the driveway as fast as you can, jump on, dump the clutch. Ring, 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 ring. And so my parents and my cousin's parents allowed us to ride around the yard and around the pasture and that kind of stuff. Man, we had a great time. And then I was left home alone. My mother said, see, you moms already know, don't you? Don't ride the bike. My dad said, my aunt said, my uncle said, even my cousin 2 years younger than me that he and I always got into trouble said, this bike is not licensed. You don't have a motorcycle license. Everyone was gone. I took careful notice of exactly where the bike was sitting so that I could put it back exactly the way it was sitting. I put it in second gear. I pulled in the clutch and I ran down the driveway as fast as I could. I jumped on and I dumped the clutch. And for some reason, it was beyond my control, I'm sure. When I got to the end of the driveway, I didn't turn around. I just kept on going. And I rode a ways, and I turned around and came back, and I put that bike back exactly where it was. And I don't think anyone was the wiser except for me. And I became a motorcycle enthusiast from that point on. I fell in love with riding a motorcycle. I came home from that trip and immediately bought one. A British bike, Triumph 500 Tiger, 65 model. I encourage you never to buy a 1965 Triumph motorcycle. They ride rougher than a cob. But it was perfect for me, and I rode it a lot. That was my introduction to a motorcycle. And I fell in love with it. I want to talk for just a few minutes about another introduction. It's an introduction that took place a long time ago. And you can find it recorded in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 1. It's always a good place to start. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And so Nicodemus is introduced to Jesus. Now, oh, I've got to tell you this. I almost forgot to tell you. Just so you know, and you can rest easy this evening. Everybody that told me not to go on that motorcycle ride now has passed away and living with Jesus. So they have to forgive me. And I'm pretty sure the statute of limitations has run out in Texas for my illegal ride down the highway. But the truth still remains. I'm a convert. And if I wasn't old and creepy, I would probably still be riding. But Jesus and Nicodemus get together. Have you ever wondered why it was at night? I've heard three or four reasons. One, we know that Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. I mean, he was a muck among the mucky mucks. And perhaps in the Sanhedrin's effort to trap Jesus or to get to know him more about who he was, they held an election one night or one day, and Nicodemus was selected to go see Jesus, and so he made arrangements to see Jesus at night. And so he went in an effort to do whatever the Sanhedrin had asked him to do. That's one theory. Maybe he went at night just because he didn't want anybody else to know he'd gone to see this radical rabbi that was creating such a stir. He said, "I just want to go see him for myself, get a chance to meet him, get a chance to talk to him, see what he's got to say." That's a possibility. Maybe, maybe not. One of my seminary professors even suggested that Nicodemus went at night because that's when the priests and rabbis all sat around talking theological stuff. And so it was just natural that Nicodemus would go visit Jesus at night, this rabbi, just in order to have this theological discussion with him. Maybe, maybe not. A lot of possibilities as why. But I prefer this maybe. I mean, if we're going to discuss maybes, we just will discuss mine, right? So maybe Nicodemus went to see Jesus because he'd heard Jesus teach, because he's heard Jesus preach, because he'd witnessed some of the miracles that Jesus was performing. He had seen with his own eyes that Rabbi Jesus was a little different cut than the other rabbis. And so he went to check it out for himself. Whether he'd seen it or not, certainly he had heard the stories. One of the things that we learned about the book of John is that he doesn't always have things quite the same chronological order as the other three guys. And that's true. So I am convinced personally that this visit came not at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus had been on the field long enough that he had some time behind him, and Nicodemus had had opportunity to witness some of these things that that Jesus has done and said. And so I think, without question, he had heard, if not witnessed, the things about Jesus. Certainly, as a member of the Sanhedrin, he would have been included in the discussions that the Sanhedrin were having about how they might get rid of this itinerant rabbi, this radical rabbi named Jesus. And so because Nicodemus, now remember, this is my maybe, because Nicodemus was a leader with integrity, instead of trusting only what he was hearing in the Sanhedrin, he was going to go see for himself. And so he went to Jesus with a real inquisitive mind and an inquisitive heart. He went to see Jesus seeking what he might learn from this rabbi. And so Rabbi Jesus talked to him. And Nicodemus starts out with a compliment. Isn't that a good way to start a conversation? Don't you like it when somebody starts a conversation with a compliment? I'll give you an example. Fresh example. Some of you have noticed my beard. Some of you have said, "Oh, you got a beard." Now, I know you meant that as a compliment, but your face and your eyes told me different. And then some of you have said, "Oh, you've got a beard. I really like it." Guess which one of you people I like better? No. I am secure enough that whether you like my beard or not, I might keep it. I love joking about my beard. Maybe Nicodemus was convinced that whatever else Jesus was, he had a special relationship with the Father. And so he went to check it out for himself. Maybe he realized there was something in the relationship that Jesus had with Father God that he was missing. And he went to try to figure out what Jesus had that he didn't. Think that's a possibility? Well, fellow Christian, guess what? We're supposed to reflect Jesus the same way. So that the world around us might say, there's something different about Dave Not just his beard, and not just that he's weird, but there's something different about Dave, and I can see that Dave has a relationship with Father God, and it makes a difference in his life. I want to reflect that. Now, I don't always do a good job of it, but that's what I want. And that's my goal. I know I've told you this, but I have a type A personality. And if I get behind you in line at Walmart, and you forget that you're supposed to pay till after everything's rung up, and then you start looking for your checkbook and can't find it, and you dump your purse out or your wallet out all over the counter, you will be able to tell from my eyes that you should have done better. Or if I'm driving down the highway at 55 miles an hour, you know I'm a pastor, so I would only do the speed limit. I didn't hear any amens. But I don't have Texas plates on my car, so I don't go really bad. They go crazy down there. So, if I'm driving down the road, the speed limit is 55, and I'm doing give or take 55. And you're going 53, I will talk to you. Hopefully you won't hear me, but I will talk to you until I get a chance to pass. And glare. You know, I got so far off, I don't even know where I was. No, I know where I was. I was talking about the goal that I have in my life is to reflect Jesus in such a way that I want people to see me or to see him through me. I hope that's your goal as a Christian. I think it says we're supposed to be the light of the world and all of that kind of stuff. I hope that Nicodemus saw something irresistible in Rabbi Jesus. And he wanted to talk to him personally. I hope my maybe is that Nicodemus went to Jesus with the intent of asking, what do you have that I don't? What do you know that I don't? How can you reflect the Father so genuinely and all I've got is robes? I hope that's my maybe. Whatever the reason Nicodemus came, at least he knew where to go. He came. And Jesus cuts straight to the point. We know you're a great rabbi. We've seen the miracles. We've heard the teaching that you have authority, that you've got a special relationship with your Father. And Jesus said what? Unless you're born again, you have nothing to do with my Father. Jesus answered, verse 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Still a truth. It's still as true today as when Jesus spoke it. That was an absolute. In a world where we're not supposed to have absolutes, that's an absolute. By the way, have you ever thought that when somebody says there are no absolutes, I want to say, are you absolutely sure? Isn't that statement an absolute? So they don't even know what they're talking about. Leave them alone. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he's old? And he goes on with this conversation for a few minutes through the verse 15. But basically, what Jesus is telling Nicodemus is, I don't care if you are the big shot in the religious group. I don't care if you are one of the most religious men in all of Jerusalem. Unless you believe in me, Messiah Jesus, unless you're born again, you missed the mark. And then he makes the great statement, John 3:16. Now, I'm going to prove to you I'm weird. March is what month? And what's today's date? This National 316 Day. And so I felt like it was a good day to preach, John 3:16. See, I told you I was weird. But I'm not weird enough I came up on it by myself. There are others today who are preaching this same passage. But anyway, John 3:16. For what? Who? Who initiated it? For God. For what reason? Loved the world. He gave. If someone gives you something, how much does it cost you? He gave his only son so that... Are you a whosoever? So that whosoever believes in him... Now understand, believe just doesn't mean just know the facts, know the stories, understands who Jesus is. But it's the concept of believing in your heart, of understanding, working with, through, and all of that kind of stuff, the things of Jesus. There's that trust, there's a hope, there's all of that that goes into it, and you go in faith, and you go in repentance, and you begin to develop this great relationship, and you have this conversion experience, just like I did when I was 18 on a motorcycle. Just like I hope Nicodemus had in his experience with Jesus. Whosoever believeth. I used to work with youth. I used to be a youth minister way back in the dark ages. And one of the silly things that I would do is I would take a chair and I would say, now do you believe this chair will hold you? Uh-huh. Right? Never mind. Do you believe this chair will hold you? Do you think this chair will hold you? Yeah. And then I would sit in it and I said, see, this chair holds me. Yeah. Do you have faith that this chair will hold you? Yeah. And then I would say, but unless you sit in a chair, you really don't have faith that the chair will hold you. Faith is a verb. Believe is a verb. and they are intrinsic, they are absolutely tied together. Faith, repentance, and belief are so tied together, they're inseparable. And so what Jesus is telling Nicodemus is that whosoever has faith in me, whosoever believes in me, whosoever trusts in me, will what? Will not perish, but have. How long is that? Do you, well, let me just ask, how does it make you feel to know that when these words were first spoken by Jesus, they were spoken to a pastor, to a religious leader, to a hubby within Judaism, to a Supreme Court justice within the Jewish society? That takes guts. And Jesus just simply told him the truth. You see, he said this to a man who knew Scripture, probably had the entire Old Testament memorized. You could have probably gone up to Nicodemus and opened up your Bible to Isaiah something or other and started reading and then quit, and he could just pick it up and quote it from there. I mean, he knew the Scriptures. You could have probably turned to Amos and done the same thing, or to Micah or Malachi or Genesis. He probably had that whole Old Testament memorized. He knew Scripture. What did he not know? He didn't know Jesus as Savior. And that makes all the difference in the world. Nicodemus was a Jew. Not just any old run-of-the-day Jew. He was a member of the Supreme Court. He was on the Sanhedrin. I mean, he was a Jewish Jew. He was what we would call an upstanding church member. He may have been a church member, but what did he not have? A relationship with Jesus. Your name can be on four church rolls. It don't matter if you don't have Jesus. You may have the entire Bible memorized. You know all the stories and all the prophecies and all the stuff. But if you don't have Jesus, it don't matter. Well, Dave, I've been baptized. I walked down the aisle. I talked to the preacher and I got baptized. And is that important? Well, I spent most of my adult life teaching the Bible. I spent most of my adult life teaching obedience. I've spent most of my adult life teaching the importance of being involved and active in a church role. Yes. It makes a difference. But if you don't have Jesus when you walk in that baptistry, guess what you got when you get out? Wet hair. Guys, the thing that is significant is what you do with Jesus. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus. Now, I hope that as we come together today, that each and every one of you has that personal relationship with Christ. But if you're here today and you're relying on church membership, that ain't going to get it. Or if you're here today relying on the fact that you got wet one day, that ain't going to get it. Only if you're here today saying yes to Jesus and coming to Him in faith, coming to Him in repentance, saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, then today would be a good day for you to get that right in your life. I took one bike ride and I was hooked. I hope Nicodemus had one short encounter with Jesus and he was hooked. It took me one motorcycle ride to get hooked on riding a motorcycle. It took me 9 years in church to get it. But when I was 9 years old, to the best of my ability, I came to faith in Christ. In the best way that a 9-year-old boy can understand, I grew up in church. My mom was a Sunday school teacher. My dad was a deacon. And they had spies. And if I wanted to sin, somebody told them. See, I'm like that frog out in the pond. I started out breathing water air. And then one day, a couple of hind legs sprouted out. And then a couple front legs sprouted out. And then my tail began to tuck in. And I developed lungs and crawled out on the creek bank. That's my conversion experience as a kid growing up in church. But guess what? It's still metamorphosis. It's still the old creature becoming a new creature. And that can't happen without that encounter with Christ. So maybe you're here like a butterfly. Maybe you're here like a frog. The main thing is you're one or the other. And you've had an encounter with Christ and said yes to Him. Have I got time for one more story? Yes, I'm preaching, so I'm going to. I used to love to hunt. And I spent every minute I could in the woods. And I was out hunting in a new stretch of timber one day. And as I was walking along, I came up on an old fence row. And I started to walk down that fence row. As I walked down the fence row a little bit, I looked down in the valley down below me, just a gentle slope down. There was a beautiful, great big pond down there. And the sun was shining, the water was, you know, how it glistens in the sun. And it was neat. I mean, just a really pretty thing. And then I walked along a little farther, and there, now, some of y'all are going to know what I'm talking about. You city folks won't. But there was a section of hogwar. Now, you know what I'm talking about, hogwar? Anyway, that woven wire that's got, you know, holes about like that. And there in the bottom of that fence was a turtle. And his head and his front feet were on one side of the fence. And his shell was hung up in the fence. And his back legs were on the other side of the fence. And underneath his feet were four little trenches where he tried to push himself through. And that's where he died. Right in sight of his goal down the hill. It made an impact on me, so much so I still remember. I wish that turtle had had my perspective on his situation. Because you see, that whole fence row was void of fence except for about that one 10-foot section. 3 feet in either direction. And he could have got to the pond. The point of my story is, don't get to the point where you see Jesus without making the commitment. Don't wind up within sight of where you want to eternally be without making the decision. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him will not perish. Not might not. Not possibly won't. And will have eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to wake up in heaven one of these days. See, the Bible tells me I will. I don't have to say I might. I don't have to say I hope. I don't have to say, well, it's a possibility. There's a promise. And guess who has never broken a promise? Dave has. I probably crossed my heart when they said, don't ride the motorcycle. So this morning, I don't know what you need to do with this simple message. It's a simple message. It's a short message. Just like my little motorcycle ride. Short and sweet. But it sure changed me. So we come to the time that I have always taught and preached and believed is the most important time of this entire Sunday service. And that's where you respond to God. We call it the invitation. I don't know what God's speaking to your heart. I don't know what God's saying to you. Only you can know that. But don't get hung up in the hogwash. If he wanting you to make a decision. Father, this morning, we come to this point of responding to you. Father, as you lead our hearts today, as you speak to our hearts and minds, Father, just help us realize it's not Dave's words, it's not what Dave said, but it's what you have spoken to each one. So Lord, today as we stand together and as we sing, as we respond to you, my prayer is that no one leaves here today without knowing you as their Savior. I just ask that you work in that way, in Jesus' name. Amen.